Right, so.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay. Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to the next item of our agenda, and that is the proposed draft Skidmore Old Town Guidelines. Nicholas Starn from BPS is here to do the presentation. And this is a hearing as well. I guess that will require our vote. So go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Nicholas Starn, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We are here today for a hearing on the proposed draft Skidmore Old Town Design Guidelines. So I'll do a brief presentation, and then I know there are some folks here that wish to testify, and then you can hear the testimony, and then I can come back up and we can go through any amendments that commissioners want to introduce, and I have a few amendments that I'll talk about in the presentation. So just in my presentation briefly, I'm going to touch on some background information, walk through the organization of the guidelines, talk about some of the revisions to the draft that was created in 2008, as well as some revisions to the proposed draft dated December 2015 that you have, and then speak a little bit about a cast iron resolution that's included in the guidelines document in the appendix that I will be asking you to consider making a recommendation to City Council to adopt. So just briefly, Skidmore Old Town, the city's oldest historic district, designated in 1975. It was made a National Historic Landmark in 1977. It's one of only two historic districts in the state of Oregon that are National Historic Landmarks. It's significant in areas of both history and architecture as the kind of the birthplace of the city of Portland and the growth of the merchant economy. In the city, as well as an outstanding collection of architectural resources, particularly cast iron buildings. There's a number of architectural styles in the district, but I think most outstanding are the collection of Italianate cast iron buildings that date from the last quarter of the 19th century or so. Updating the design guidelines for this district has been a priority for a number of years. The current design guidelines were created in 1987. There's a desire to get the new guidelines redone in sort of the format that we like to use now that includes images and examples. Importantly, to better address new construction in the district, that the old guidelines are not particularly helpful for that. So that was sort of the background, some thinking going into updating the design guidelines. You might remember that in 2007 and 2008, when these guidelines were first created, it was with a package of code amendments that were going to propose some changes to the zoning code and particularly increase some heights for maximum building heights in the district on certain sites. That was pretty controversial. And so the project stalled, so then the guidelines were not adopted at that time. So I'm happy to say that we're bringing back these guidelines without those code amendments, so you're not considering any changes to building heights or any aspect of the zoning today, just the adoption of the actual design guidelines. So just briefly, the design guidelines, the documents divided into sort of three main sections. The first part, the introduction, talks about the purpose of design guidelines, how they're used in historic resource review. The second part of the document has background and a fairly extensive discussion of the history of the district as well as the attributes that make up its historic character. And then the meat of the document are the guidelines themselves, organized into four sections. The first are general guidelines that would be applicable for any proposals for alterations or new development in the district. Then there's a section that's specific to alterations to existing buildings. And then there's another section on additions, so a set of guidelines specific for when the commission and staff are considering additions to buildings, both horizontal and vertical. And then finally, the last section addresses new development, new buildings on the many surface parking lots and vacant sites in the district. There's about 25 design guidelines that are basically set up with a brief background section. This particular example is a guideline A2 that talks about the importance of maintaining a strong street wall in the district. So there'll be a background sort of talks about that main subject matter, and then the guideline language itself at the bottom there, guideline A2, and that it's important to realize that's the only part of this document that's going to be adopted formally by ordinance and will be used as formal approval criteria, just that language. And then finally, there's one or more examples that sort of illustrate how that guideline may be met in various different ways. So this example talks about how maintaining compatible heights on, to adjacent buildings helps achieve that guideline. So in revisiting these guidelines that were originally drafted in 2008, we've, as you know, taken a fairly light hand and, you know, wishing to honor all the hard work that went into the crafting of those guidelines back then. That said, there have been a number of changes. The vast majority of them are relatively straightforward updating of images and captions. A lot of these, in fact, I would say 99% of these came from you all here, particularly Jessica and I think Karen worked pretty extensively on a list of amendments to the image and caption work. There's two actual guidelines that we're proposing to amend the language. The first is guideline A4, where we are proposing to remove reference to the term natural in the guideline that discusses how to use materials in the district and sort of beefing up that language a bit to be a little bit more specific and clear. And then guideline D1, we talked about, I think, fairly extensively the last time I was here a few weeks ago, taking the word Italianate and substituting, taking Italianate out and substituting the term cast iron to be sort of clearer that we're not talking about very specific new development having a particular style, but rather responding to the elements of the historic buildings that are most important in defining the character of the district. So, you know, tall first stories, strong horizontal and vertical articulation, those sorts of things. And so there's that change. And then relating to guideline A2, we talked a little bit about this at the last time, although I didn't have specific language. This is a guideline that is dealing with the street wall. And previously, the language we're not changed, the guideline itself are not changing, but previously the background language had some fairly strong discouraging words for in terms of considering openings to the into the block or buildings and called for not approving. You can see the language is being called out, entrances to courtyards and alleyways and things like that. So we've softened that language here to allow sort of consideration of openings to the street. And then there was a previous example in there that sort of said only, sort of saying that you could only, suggesting you could only enter courtyards or alleyways from within a building as opposed to from the street. So I propose to take that language out and substitute a new example with this illustration from the Block 8L development and sort of saying one way that you might successfully be able to have alleyways or courtyards is to have substantial gateways there that sort of help contribute to the street wall while still providing access. So you have a handout in front of you that has, it's a table of proposed revisions to the draft that you have. The first five are coming from staff. And then this morning, Commissioner Engelman shared some additional suggested edits to the document. So what is it, 6 through 19 in the table are from Jessica. So I'll just briefly go through the ones that I'm proposing, and then we can talk about a few of Jessica's suggestions. Most of them, I think, are fairly straightforward and probably won't require much discussion. The first proposal is to add under guideline C2, which is about respecting scale and proportion of building styles with when doing horizontal additions to buildings. Of how guideline C2 may be accomplished did not have an illustration. So I'm suggesting that we add a photograph there of the, well, it's not so recently completed, but it wasn't completed when these guidelines were first drafted, but the addition to the Mercy Corps. I think that helps to illustrate that. I would probably use an actually a different photograph because I grabbed this off the web and I would want to go take a picture myself and put it in, but it could be largely like that photograph. Let's see. The number two is in the background section for guideline D1, which is about integrating the design of new buildings with a cast iron district. Last week I went and presented the guidelines to the planning and or the land use and design review committee of the Old Town Chinatown Community Association, and we talked through, and I think they were supportive of the change to the actual guideline language, but they pointed out that there was some additional language in the background statements and the examples that were a little bit at odds with that change, and they were concerned that that there was sort of a mixed message, and wanting to be sure that we were really clear that this guideline wasn't about trying to encourage new development to sort of ape Italian ape buildings. So I've suggested that we add some of this rather explicit language here to make that clear in the background section, as well as some amendments to in the examples that just cross out references to the Italian ape style. The fifth staff proposal is to, in the appendix, appendix three is a list of all the resources in the building, and I'm proposing to remove the column that lists whether the building is contributing or not, because those classifications can change over time, and we'd really like folks to confirm what the actual classification is with city staff. So, and then 6 through 9, as I said, are from Commissioner Engelman, a lot of fixing of typos and so forth. And when I was looking through them, it struck me as probably the most significant substantive suggestion was whether to remove the image of, I think it's actually a rendering or a drawing of their proposed addition to the Halleck and McMillan building, because there might be a newer design. Mm-hmm. And so that's something for the commission to consider. And then finally, the cast iron resolution. This was prepared and supported by the Landmarks Commission in 2008. Again, none of that package was adopted, so that resolution I'm bringing before you again and wanting to reconfirm that you would like to recommend that City Council consider this resolution that directs the city to pursue efforts with city-owned properties to try to find ways to reuse the significant collection of cast iron artifacts that have been salvaged from historic buildings over the years, and to find ways to reuse those in new development projects. So in conclusion, asking two things of the Commission today: to recommend to City Council that City Council adopt the guidelines as the approval criteria for future historic resource reviews in the district, as well as to pass the cast iron resolution that I just mentioned. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any clarifying questions. And then I think, as I said, there's some folks that want to testify.
Thank you, Nicholas. Any questions? Okay.
I definitely have some discussion points, but no specific questions, so I can certainly save them until after we hear from the public.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Just for staff? Okay. So I'd like to open up the mic to public testimony. Right now, I see that we have three people signed up to speak. The first two, I'll ask you to come up in groups of two. If there are any additional people who would like to speak as well, please just let us know and we'll get you accommodated. First on the list is Sarah Stevenson and Peggy Moretti. And please just let us know your name and address. Thank you.
All right. I'm Sarah Stevenson. I am representing the Old Town Chinatown Community Association Land Use and Design Review Committee. I'm one of the co-chairs. My business address is 219 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Old Town. And I'm just here to enthusiastically convey our support for these historic design guidelines. We've been waiting for them. We think they're really important to the neighborhood, and we thank the city for moving them forward. We also appreciate the revisions that have been made from 2008 and the one that Nicholas subsequently made after he came to our meeting last week. We did want some additional clarification around we hear people talking about new construction having to conform to Italianate style, and you know, this, I think the guidelines now are clarifying that that's not exactly what is being asked. It's being asked that they support the character and the historic fabric, and we think that's really important. So we are very supportive, and that's my testimony. I don't know if it's helpful, sorry, to have a letter or as opposed to just verbal testimony. So I pretty much wrote down what I said, and I'll submit it to whoever. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Peggy Moretti, Executive Director of Restore Oregon. About 3 years ago, Restore Oregon listed the Skidmore Old Town District as one of Oregon's most endangered places. I don't know if you recall that. And we did so for two reasons. One was the preponderance of surface parking lots and the blight that that brought to the district and the lack of energy and vitality, but also the fact that we felt the overall design and the integrity of the district was at risk from the proposed heights, which we are very grateful are no longer on the table, and the lack of these design guidelines. So we are very thrilled and enthusiastic in our endorsement of the design guidelines as proposed and with the slight amendments that Nicholas has brought forward. And just think it's long overdue and very well and thoughtfully crafted. We feel that it aligns with the overall principles of preservation and infill guidelines that our organization has brought forward in the past on a statewide level, the clarity it offers for developers, and the retention of the continuity and the telling of the story of the district, which is so important to look at this in its entirety, in its wholeness versus individual little pieces. So we're very comfortable with the de-emphasis on the Italianate and replacing that thought with cast iron, and definitely support the reuse of the cast iron material that has been salvaged. We think that offers some fabulously creative opportunities to, in the architecture community, to bring those back in an appropriate way. So I don't have this written down, but please mark us down as enthusiastic as supporters of this.
Thank you. Next up, we have Jackie. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Jackie Peterson Loomis, and I'm here in two capacities. I am a board member of the Architectural Heritage Center of the Bosco Milligan Foundation and a member of the Advocacy Committee. And I'm speaking on their behalf, and I'm also a board member of the Portland Chinatown History and Museum Foundation. Our business address is 123 Northwest 2nd Avenue. And I'm here also enthusiastically to support these design guidelines. We have been waiting for decades for them. It is really marvelous. We thank the city and this commission for all of the hard work that you have done. We enthusiastically, of course, support the reuse of cast iron parts, for which the Bosco Milligan Foundation is very much committed itself. The only little caveat that I want to throw in is that it's a recent proposal to revise by Nicholas, and it's the historian in me pleading that it is important always to date a document. And while it may be true that classifications may change over time, there is nothing wrong with indicating them at this moment in this document with a note that they may change over time. So I would suggest to you that you retain the existing contributing and non-contributing status of the buildings in the district. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Do we have any additional public input? Okay. All right. So I guess now we have commissioner time to discuss. We also, for the record, too, we also have an email from Nicholas that's forwarding some comments from Robert Dortniak, who is, I believe, a former chair of the Historic Landmarks Commission, and I have a feeling he probably worked on this, too. So he did offer some additional input, and that's something that we can certainly talk about as a commission as well.
So, Nicholas, should we start by using your matrix as a guide to
I think that would be helpful, yes.
Okay. So on the item number one, which was to insert the image of Mercy Corps, I'm certainly in favor of that. I like that if you retake this image, I like the angle from which it's taken, which is to sort of prioritize the historic building and the fountain, kind of showing the elevation as sort of the secondary image and the perspective. And I do think that although there are certain elements of that project that I'm not a huge fan of, I think one thing that they did right was that they got the scale. They did a good job with the scale there. So I think it's actually a really good example. So I would be in favor of including that. Does anyone feel differently?
No, agreed.
Agreed.
Great.
So going to item number two, I think this works, and talking about not to mimic or copy them in a literal fashion, I just want to make sure that that doesn't contradict later in D1 where we talk about reconstructing cast iron buildings is encouraged. So I just want to make sure that we're not looking necessarily for literal reinterpretation of Italianate, but we're looking, you know, creative reuse of cast iron, as well as if people wanted to, based on historical documentation, actually recreate a building, that all of those avenues are acceptable. And I want to make sure the language is supportive of all of those.
Yeah, so I think you're referring to on page 57, the second D1 may be accomplished by reconstructing well-documented historic buildings.
Right. So as long as you feel like this language doesn't contradict that these may be accomplished by later on, then I'm okay with that.
I don't think it does.
Okay.
I could add something if you feel more comfortable saying, I'm not sure I could wordsmith it right here, but
right.
I could put something to that effect in the background that.
Karen, what do you think?
Well, I know what you're saying. It's you don't have to mimic or copy literally unless desired, unless that's what.
Well, unless you're recreating.
And you have the documentation.
Yeah.
So maybe noodle that and see if there's a way to
to
wordsmith another sentence to tack on to the end there.
Do we have to include that phrase, you think?
Then not to mimic or copy.
I think it's important, and in fact, I'm really glad to see this, you know, number two come in here, because it addresses some of my concerns. Under guideline D1, I was sort of hoping for an example of how to successfully incorporate artifacts in a modern design. That's a really tough one. But I want users of this document to, you know, feel like that is a direction and that is an avenue that they could take. I don't have a suggestion, but I could think about it, and I wonder if any other commissioners feel like that's, you know, perhaps something that should be within this guideline, a way to, you know, successfully accomplish guideline D1.
I mean, would it be, I don't know if this is within the Secretary of Interior standards for rehab, but it's, you know, that one standard that talks about false sense of history.
Yes.
Is that a phrase we could tack on there? Instead? Or?
Well, I mean, I think that they would probably be against the whole reconstruction as going
right.
on with a false sense of history. So in some ways, I don't feel like these guys, like we've sort of said at the local level that this
right.
is acceptable. But I mean, I know where you're going is sort of making up a history that's not based on any documentation, but that isn't necessarily a modern interpretation and folding in of artifacts. So.
Exactly. I mean, I think all of us are pretty comfortable and have examples of how to maybe reuse these specific artifacts in a context that's not a building, you know, like, for instance, you know, as an edge. That's fabulous. But it's a lot harder to do that mm-hmm. with a building.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think Karen and I looked, I'm pretty sure I looked for images too.
Yeah.
To find any successful examples. Okay. I mean, I think these are good points. So maybe a little.
So can you state what your direction is?
Yeah. We should probably be as specific as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my direction perhaps comes without a photo, but it might be adding another, you know, guideline D1 may be accomplished by, and then we'd have to craft something, you know, successfully incorporating artifacts in a modern design, you know, without running afoul of the false sense of history, Secretary of the Interior's guideline. You know, I just said a whole mouthful that obviously we don't want on a page, but that's what I'm trying to get at. I don't want.
I'd be happy to
hold anybody up. So.
Well, I guess, you know, we haven't gone through everything yet. But I guess the question is, if the commission's fine with, I could come back next. If there are enough of these substantive things that you'd really want to review, kind of what I come up with, I'd be happy to come back next week. But that's for the commission to decide.
Okay. So yeah, why don't we continue to work through them and then just,
so
you know,
just
we'll hold this as something if. We can maybe think about it as we're moving through and then come back to and provide you more specific direction.
Sure.
Okay.
So then the third and fourth one sort of also relate to D1 and just minor textual changes sort of in the same spirit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would approve that. Everyone?
And then?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with those.
Okay, and then the fifth one was that Jackie Pearson just spoke to, so I guess there's sort of two suggestions on the table. I could take them out, or we could leave them in, and just I could put some really clear language that the classifications represent as they were at a particular point in time. I think either one achieves the goal.
I would prefer to keep it in, just because it is an important source of information. You don't want people to kind of try to find it elsewhere, and then. I mean, it's nice to have all that information, but I think with the necessary caveats in there.
Yeah, I could just put something in that, you know, these represented as of a certain date. Please confirm classifications with city staff. Something to that effect. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that seems like a good way to go about it.
Is everyone okay? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I think for the things that I suggested, probably the Halleck and McMillan one is worthy of our discussion, and Hillary might be able to weigh in. So, Hillary, we got this image from the first approved land use review, and I don't know if a second one is in the works or has already gone through, but I had heard that the design of the addition on the Halleck and McMillan was changing probably quite significantly. And so I'm wondering if it's... Okay, I should just look at my matrix. Page 53.
Yes, that design is changing. I don't know if it's been approved yet. I think we can check on that in the next couple of minutes and get back to you.
Okay, that'd be great. That's number 12, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. And
correct.
It might also be worth looking at item number 10 in my list there, which goes to page 51. I think Karen and I had some back and forth discussion about these images of these two penthouses in the Yamhill Historic District.
Mm-hmm.
The gray one in particular, I thought had merit of including just because it reinforced sort of kind of an integrating but slightly differentiated look to the penthouse, although both of them are quite visible, and I think more visible than anything that we would approve in the district. And I thought it, and I believe this language was in here with some other pictures previously, and I was just wondering if it's worth bringing back, which is just some words of caution that the visibility of these penthouses may not be approvable in this district, something to that effect.
To be honest, you did have that language, and I ended up removing it because I was a little concerned that it's sort of a confusing message. But if you'd like, at one time you're saying, here's a good example of how you can do it, but we might not approve it.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, we pretty much Telegram and Crane. We've pulled in some images of penthouses that I would say meet sort of our expectations probably for the level of visibility. The desire to pull these in was just because the penthouses had a little bit more design to them. But on the flip side, they were quite visible. So I mean, do other commissioners have comments on how we might, whether we should pull them all together, whether we should clarify with some language, or
can you refer them to those other pictures, to the other projects that you had mentioned, or were they separate from the two that are?
So we have Telegram already in on that page.
Okay.
And then on the next, or on page 54, we've got a Crane illustrating C3. Mm-hmm.
Can we also refer to that?
I suppose we could. The thing is that neither one of those really gets to what we were trying to convey here, which was architectural details that integrate the penthouse with the building. Karen, I think that was our main thing, that we were trying to find an example of a penthouse that...
If it seems like you're not that happy with the photos illustrating what you want, maybe we should pull them?
Well, I think...
Because as Nicholas said, it's kind of weird to have a photo of something when a big aspect of it's not applicable, even if that aspect is not what you're trying to illustrate.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Karen, I know that this particular goal of this guideline is something that I know has been important to you, so I'm wondering what
Is one of them better than the other?
No, they're both. The gray building, this is taken from Waterfront Park. So I've intentionally stepped back so that you actually can see more of the penthouse. So it's possible that one might be more appropriate. I mean, the pink one is taken across the street, and it's a very visible penthouse. I mean, it's just barely stepped back from the main building parapet. So
the pink one, a different picture, would it work?
I don't think so.
That one looks, I mean, it's kind of like right up on the...
Yep. So I guess...
The gray one is better.
Right.
And the gray one is, I think it's better detailed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe it's just a matter of taking...
I mean, so maybe get rid of the pink one and keep the gray one, but then put the caveat language, is that
right? Well, it sounded like multiple people had concerns about having an image that had caveat language.
Well, I think it would be easier with just one.
Okay.
Just one image.
Okay, so...
Having the caveat language.
All right, so I think we're definitely deleting the image of the...
Pink one.
The pink building.
Okay.
I'm okay with the caveat language. Are enough other people okay with that? Or do you think...
Or do we just introduce, rather than just saying that every, you know...
Case by case, but...
Yeah, something like that, where, you know, penthouse approval is a case by case situation. That is dependent upon the context, the design context.
Are you saying put that in the background, after, you know, before the guideline?
I think wherever we were going to put these penthouses may be more visible than what is approvable in the district.
Oh, okay, so still under the photo.
I guess we have that under this first C1 may be accomplished by in the Telegram. Like we kind of have that there.
Okay.
It was more of inserting it in the caption just so that this... just to prevent further confusion.
Maybe
But maybe instead of making it a negative, we turn it a positive where the caption just emphasizes more that, that this is a good example of detailing.
Okay.
Only.
Right.
If not scale. Okay.
I mean, instead of right. This is good but bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So reword the caption to
just further emphasize that we're only looking at the detailing of the okay. penthouse here, not
its visibility or
right. Or I mean, we don't want to say the negative part, but this is yep. this is an excellent example of. You know.
I like that tactic.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the rest of mine are all just typos, wordsmithing for clarity, and I don't think we really need to discuss any of the other
just
ones.
Just take those on consent.
I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Is everyone okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'd add one typo I found on the caption on page 54, bottom left-hand corner.
Okay.
Make should be making.
Mm-hmm. Effect of make.
Where, I'm sorry, can
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah.
The under the photograph?
The addition versus making the addition.
So in the crane building.
It's a minor typo.
Okay. Oh, right. Got it.
And I'd like to just very quickly, too, just run through some of Robert's corrections, yep. too, just to make yep. sure that we cover everything there. Under the alterations and additions section, Robert notes that there's been some prior building alterations to contributing buildings that led to them being no longer contributing. These alterations should not be allowed. So in terms of looking at the guidelines, are there any caveats in there that note that the alterations should not be so significant as to convert a building from contributing to non-contributing, or do you think that
I don't recall that specific language.
Okay.
I think if you meet these design guidelines, you won't be making contributing building non-contributing. That's my gut feeling. I could right. add something to that if, you know, in some place, find an appropriate place in the
right.
background discussion.
It might be just worth stating that in one sentence.
Sure.
I mean, I've seen other communities where certificates of appropriateness have been provided to a building, and at the end of the day, after about six, they said, oh, we don't think it's...
Right. A cumulative effect of...
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. And yeah, I mean, that community, Portland's very different, but at the same time, it'd be nice just to have that caveat in there. Another one, you said this is kind of semantics, but original is used often in the guidelines. It should be clear somehow that this does mean historic original. And I would even suggest, and I'm open to discussion on this too, is do we talk about period of significance as opposed to original? Because any alterations that were done during the period of significance are technically contributing to the importance of the district. I don't know if that's worth going through and replacing every single time we talk about original, but maybe there is, you know, some kind of definition up front that says original means blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
That might be easier fix. I don't know how people think about that, but it would help to clarify what original means.
Yeah, I'm looking just to see if how that term is used in the guidelines themselves as opposed to the background.
Okay.
I've got an example.
B3.
Yep,
B3. Original openings in the building.
Mm-hmm.
Historic openings.
Historic period.
Openings from the historic period.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so B1, respect the building's original period, style, materials, and details in the design of alterations. Does it need to be changed there, or does that cover it?
I would think so, because, I mean, you could interpret that as bringing it back to the way it was originally built, as opposed to taking into account alterations that may fall within the period of significance for the district.
So respect the building's historic period, style, materials, and details in the design of alterations.
Yeah.
Okay. So sounds like maybe you need to do a find and a selective replace for clarity along okay. those lines.
Yeah. References to the district, there are guideline references to the various district building qualities. You should likewise be clear that they refer to those of the historic contributing structures. I think what he's after is just that the design guidelines are more meant to be compatible with the historic buildings as opposed to the
all buildings
non-contributing resources. Do you feel that we're sufficiently clear on that?
My gut feeling is that we're already pretty clear on that.
I think we're pretty clear on that.
Okay. E1C, glad to see this is included. Okay. I think that's just a comment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A3. Okay, again, it's more of a comment. On the new Market Theater.
Do you think he's maybe subtly asking for a tweak in the caption?
In the caption,
on page
33? I could do that.
This recreated or reconstructed cast iron arcade?
I believe some of it is original, but I think the majority of it mm-hmm. are reconstructions. But I can clarify that.
Okay.
Yeah, in the caption.
Great. That would be great. New infill. I think, again, that's.
So that's more of a comment.
Mm-hmm. D3, D6, overall height is important as well as the ground floor. What about numbers of stories, story to height ranges? I think that was something we talked about last meeting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would just add, while we're talking about this, on page 59... It says, guideline D3, at the very bottom, guideline D3 may be accomplished by using a stepped-back penthouse for the top story of a building. I mean, to me, that reads as any top story, and so I was looking for some clarification that, you know, if the top story is above its historic neighbors, something like that, because otherwise, you know, it sort of encourages everybody to step back the top story, and that wouldn't be appropriate. Maybe that gets at a little bit of Rob's comment overall.
So rewrite that example as using a step back penthouse for a top, I don't have the exact words, but for a top story, if that story is taller, if it's taller than adjacent buildings, is that kind of what you're saying?
Something. Using a stepped back penthouse for any height above its historic neighbors, which that doesn't quite get there either. Anyway, I'll leave it to you to try to hammer out something clarifying there.
Okay.
Yeah, we should be as clear as possible. Mm-hmm. So if there's any way we can... Do you feel like you have...
Well, I think there's enough of these little things that I would be more comfortable coming back to you at the next meeting with a list of how I've addressed these.
Okay.
I mean, myself, does that... Can you all over that?
Yeah, I think we're at that point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That will have to be a hearing as well, just so you know, because for specifically on the changes that I'm bringing.
Yep.
Okay.
Allowed and discouraged. While it may not fit into the format, it can be useful for designers, developers to know what is discouraged. Did we have anything in there on the negative? No.
Feels like that would be a pretty big.
Yeah, that would be a pretty big domain.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's sort of a longstanding sort of, we try to always talk about what we want.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not what we don't want. Sometimes like you have to do that, but I think,
like that idea better, yeah. I think. Looking ahead in technology and area, always difficult to guide, but what about technology additions, cell towers, solar panels, green roofs, green walls, wind features?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good point. I think hopefully the guidelines, there's something in these guidelines to address those when those come in, but the question is, you know, perhaps we could have another example.
Well, I mean, a wind turbine, for instance, would go into the overall height of the building, correct? If it's an addition on a roof.
I guess I would defer to you how you would address that.
Yeah. There are certain exemptions for certain things above the roof.
Okay.
That one might be dependent on actual zoning. I've dealt with it one time, so I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
I'd look it up, though, and get back to Nicholas.
Do we have sufficient specificity in there? Do you think that could cover those type of alterations? I mean,
we don't specifically address any of these things. But it is a question that we would get, you know, like,
yeah.
I'm just thinking, I recently had a question about a green roof, you know, well, how is that viewed?
Right. When we have grass growing up on
it. It's not, you know, none of these things directly.
Is there an underlying zoning category that deals with those type of issues?
Well, I'm wondering, could you sneak, I'm just totally talking out loud, but under district character, could you, I guess it would be a little backhanded, but to list those types of things and talk about how they would have to be very sensitively incorporated, minimal visual impact, I don't know, something along those lines. I was trying to think of what do we already have here, where would it most likely get inserted to just try to acknowledge that people want to incorporate those things into the existing buildings or new buildings, but they're things that may bump up against the district character and have to be looked at closely for compatibility.
That's how we usually deal with it.
At the community character type of level?
Historic character, typically.
Okay.
So somewhere so that's A1?
Yeah.
And B1, building character.
Well, so what's the solution? What's the approach? I mean, are you suggesting maybe some more explicit discussion, like in the background, or actually coming up with an a maybe accomplished by statement? And if so, what would that say? Or are you comfortable that A1 and B1 and D1
are sufficient?
Sufficient and flexible enough to allow you to look at a green roof or.
You have the material issue too, so we have to have compatible materials, and a cell tower might not be a compatible material.
So. Right. Yeah, so I mean, there may be enough tools in the toolbox for us to kind of deal with it. And I feel like in previous applications for some of the reviews that we've done, we've been able to kind of use those to our advantage so that there's sufficient protections already. Mm-hmm. So maybe we don't need to necessarily, maybe we can add something like maybe a sentence that just talks about, you know, technology additions such as, you know, solar, green roofs, cell towers would be reviewed at a case-by-case basis, but would ultimately have to comply with the specific guidelines in the package. Is that?
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, I think we're covered, but if there's a place where we could add a sentence, it would be nice. But
in the commentary, yeah. Or the background discussion, not We don't have to change the guideline or anything. Yeah.
Okay. Correct. Correct.
Yep. I agree. I think it can be reviewed, you know, on a case by case basis.
Yep.
That's.
Yeah.
Okay.
And lastly, public improvements. The guidelines really get to the heart of individual sites, and so. And so often, a great project is reduced by site engineering and public improvements in the right-of-way that compete and conflict with the sensitivity of the project's good work. Urban site and site accessories, likely not a problem, but sometimes there can be inappropriate items. So, I mean, are we talking about street improvement projects here? Or are we talking about, I mean, what do we...
I think that's what he's getting at.
Right.
In general, most stuff that's going to go on the right-of-way is not going to be subject to review. And so these guidelines wouldn't come to bear anyway.
They would or would not? Or
they would not.
They would not. Yeah.
Unless it's non-standard.
So what does that
which
mean?
Which could, well, you know, like basic sidewalks and light fixtures and street poles.
So like the Ankeny improvements that we had that briefing on like a year and a half ago, that was a non-standard improvement, and that's why they came to us to tell us. Okay. Remember that one? Stan Cheshire did a presentation, PDC, about some improvements to Ankeny. And,
oh, right.
Yeah. So those types of things would come to us.
Okay. Okay. So I think we'll be covered by some of that. I think also the fact that we have, I mean, the light rail, anything that gets funded through that would probably go through the FTA, so it would be covered under Section 106, so that would presumably have to be consistent with the Secretary of Interior standards. You know, right-of-way stuff could either be through the city or through state funding, so that may be a gap, but I think it's a pretty small gap, so maybe I don't think we necessarily have to address it here.
Okay. So I found one more thing, and I'm going to make you crazy, Nicholas.
Okay.
That's what I do.
That's fine.
So, like, on page 34... every time it says guideline A4 may be accomplished by, there's an alternating using a capital A and a lowercase a. And so the ideal would be to go through the document and make sure it's always consistent, but definitely within the same page, I think.
Page 34.
You've got
lowercase
and
yeah.
capitalized.
Yes.
So it'd be
got
great
it.
To just have a document standard and it's always capitalized.
Okay. So I think what we have right now from the commission is just some more specific guidance for Nicholas to come back to us as quickly as possible. Oh, you may have some more. Sorry.
Yeah, I apologize just for kind of not floating these comments earlier to you, Nicholas, but I do have a few.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm late coming to this party. I recognize that. So my fellow commissioners may not agree on a few of these, but I figure I'll go ahead and go through a couple things with you if that's okay.
Sure.
The first one I have is regarding guideline B3, and I'm on page 49 when we're talking about, guideline B3 may be accomplished by. And it's just a suggestion to, because guideline B3 talks about the rhythm of the original openings, it would be nice to kind of reflect that. And one place you could do that is in the, I guess it's under the photos on page 49, where you have a photograph of new openings that were cut into that block. And it might be nice to add, the pattern of the new openings respects the composition of the whole wall. To me, that's an important concept that the guideline is getting at, but you don't really reflect in any of the other suggestions. So it's pretty minor.
I think that sounds good.
So in the caption?
Exactly. Okay. Just in the caption where it shows those new windows.
Okay. So it's the key phrase is respecting the pattern of the whole wall.
What I wrote is the pattern of the new openings respects the composition of the whole wall. So something like that.
Okay.
Let's see. I already talked about that one. Now, this may be verboten, but I do have a couple of comments on the actual language of both guideline D4, and then I have one more. So D4 is on page 60. And right now it says, reduce the scale or apparent scale of new buildings. And to me, that's a strange way to put it, because you're saying that any new building should be reduced automatically. And it just seems like that needs a little bit more clarification. So what I noted was, as a suggestion, design the apparent scale of new buildings to be compatible with the district. So that's just something to think about for commissioners. I don't know if...
Other commissioners?
I'm okay with that change.
I would be supportive of that change. That never even jumped out at me, but I think that's a really good suggestion if
that's
possible.
Could you repeat it?
Yep. Where was it? Okay. Guideline D4, design the apparent scale of new buildings to be compatible with the district.
Okay.
And then the other guideline that I have a little suggestion on is D9 on page 68. The guideline reads, use exterior materials and colors where materials are permanent that are visually compatible with the architectural character of the district and the surrounding buildings. And my question, I guess, is why include the clause where materials are permanent? To me, it just seems like another clause, and I'm not really
understand.
What this
came from was to avoid regulating paint color. Paint's not considered permanent.
Right.
I see.
It's regularly
where
changed.
Where materials are permanent. Okay.
And I think we monkeyed around with that, and I'm not sure what the thinking was, but that's how we finally landed.
It's totally fine. I just was questioning, you know, the sort of added clause there.
Paint isn't typically subject to review unless it was part of a previous approvals condition or specified in some way. So we wouldn't even get to the guidelines typically on a proposal to repaint something.
Okay. And then the last thing I wanted to address was the resolution that you asked us to look at.
Yes.
And so that's on page 69. And I didn't have any issues with it until I get to the very last part of it that says, now therefore be it resolved. And then there's A through D in there. And under A, there's language about strongly encouraged to recreate historic cast iron style facades. You know, this gets at a little bit the earlier edition, you know, number two on your guide here about making sure that we're not mimicking or copying things in a literal fashion. And so perhaps just taking out the word recreate and making it something more like encouraged to incorporate historic cast iron style facades or artifacts from the Eric Ladd or other cast iron artifact collections. I don't know if that's diluting the meaning too much, but I'm a little troubled by recreate historic cast iron style facades.
Well, what do other commissioners think? We talk about reconstructing well-documented buildings.
Mm-hmm.
We're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Recreate might
be a little different.
I mean, that has a specific meaning. National Park Service have this real specific meaning? We're recreating that. It's something that's not real, but you're making it look like it was real.
Right.
Yeah, and that's generally discouraged, right, on especially rebuilding a building on another site. I don't think there are full cast iron facades. I think there's not enough to do a full. So whoever did it would have to cast a lot of cast iron. I shared your concern, just in the ambiguity that, and I guess I resolved it thinking that it would have to be addressed on a case by case basis, and that hopefully the city would come early on with RFPs or whatever, however they were going to approach this, so that we had some early guidance and not end up with something too far down the pipe.
Right.
Karen, I know that you've looked at, because the Architectural Heritage Center gets involved with the use of their collection, like if someone was going to use it on a building. And do they have kind of criteria that promote sort of recreating cast iron buildings?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
I mean, they're encouraging the reuse of their artifacts. The number one use would be to recreate or reconstruct a building.
To do an accurate reconstruction, but also yep. things that are more...
But on a different site, because the sites aren't available.
I believe that the collections that exist are for both... I think most of them actually weren't even in Skidmore. They were in other...
Right, they were down...
Yeah. I mean, frankly, there are some issues with this whole resolution. I mean, and as I was thinking about this, this had a lot to do with, if you recall, Bill Hawkins created an inventory of the entire collections. And Bill has been about recreating that district really strongly, like actually just make it look like it used to look. And not everyone agrees with that approach. And I think that this was, I think art had a, this was a big, this resolution was really near and dear to art. But I think he was really running with the Bill Hawkins conception, and that's where the language sort of reads like that to me. Okay. So if you want, if the commission now thinks that's too... I mean, we're probably not going to do that anyway, but...
Right.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's really unlikely. I mean, they're not the original sites. There aren't complete buildings. There's, like, collections of columns and collections of columns plus something, and or maybe not a whole complete, you know, set. And there might be multiple buildings that were next to each other, but we don't have a site, you know, to put them together. So it's unlikely.
Well, so reconstruction is... unlikely, you're saying,
right?
Like true reconstruction, but because of those very points, recreate historic cast iron style facades incorporating artifacts is much more likely unless we were to discourage it. Am I?
I think that the word recreate is a weird, is not the word I would use.
Well, yeah, I think that's the challenge too. I mean, we don't necessarily want to take the sector into your standard language or terminology and apply it, perhaps in this circumstance. But in fact, come up with a vernacular that's specific to the Skidmore.
I mean, we're wanting
to recreate.
We're wanting to reintegrate components into new buildings, not recreate anything.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
Integrate.
Did you say incorporate?
I said incorporate, but yeah, I could see integrate being working as well.
Encourage to reintegrate or integrate
incorporate.
Historic
or
cast
incorporate.
Iron
for
incorporate.
I mean, it's either,
incorporate.
Those are the same meaning.
Yeah.
And I'd have to change it a little bit more because then it uses incorporating again.
Well, if it's just said cast iron style facades or artifacts.
Right.
From the blah, blah, blah. That might solve that.
Okay. Does that work for folks?
I definitely think there are cases where it has been effectively integrated into the district successfully, and I wouldn't want to discourage it for sure. So
Right. Okay. All right.
I have follow up on the Halleck McMillan.
Yeah.
It was approved in December 18th. And you would have to change the caption if you change the image, because we approved basically a glass box, which hopefully you'd like at the type 2 level. I can pass around this image, and I can get you an image.
Yeah.
53.
We'll have to see if this is going to work, because the whole subtly differentiated, I don't think it's going to be a good...
Is it still differentiated and subordinate?
Yeah, so
it is both of those things.
But it may not be subtly. I think it's overtly differentiated. So I think we need to look at a different example here. So
was that a type 2 review? So it could still end up here.
Pass the.
Or, I mean, can we just use the older drawing and say,
this is a design? Or
yeah.
Well, I think we would need to clarify in the caption the previous. Because it's when someone goes and looks at that site, like, they're going to be like, well, wait a second.
It doesn't look not what you're doing.
Why is there a box here now?
That's true.
So I think we'd have to be really clear in the.
Well, can we not call out what building it is at that point, just say, here's a, you know, an example of a design that is.
Yeah, I mean, the district's, I feel like if you're paying attention to the district, you'll be able to figure out what building that is. Talking to any architect, they probably will,
clarify that this wasn't constructed. This was a potential, you know, like,
okay.
You could talk about it like an option, right?
Okay.
This was an acceptable option.
Okay.
Because we had a hard time finding.
We had a really hard time finding an example.
So I don't know what else we would.
Yeah, I think if there's a way to wordsmith the caption, and if you want us to think about it and propose some new language, we could do that, Nicholas, or you could propose.
I could take a shot. I could take a shot.
Something like this was a, you know, that this was a design option that is acceptable and, you know, it's not constructed.
It's still a little weird when you go and you're actually there and you're like, well, why was that design option built?
But we're not telling you to go. I mean, we're showing you a picture and we're showing you a design option that was acceptable.
Okay.
All right.
One other thing, sorry.
Yep.
Just wanted to alert you, and you might already know this, on page 33, the picture with the arcade or the colonnade that is coming before you soon with the building behind it. So that image also will soon be irrelevant.
But the colonnade is staying.
The colonnade is staying, but the caption.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll look different than what it looks like here.
Right.
To me, that's a great example of how to integrate cast iron artifacts into the district. So
and it's
I'd
stood
that,
for many
I'd
years.
Keep that photograph if you could.
Yeah. Right. I think it's a good point, Hillary, but I think we should keep it.
Yeah. All right. Well, okay. I think that we've given Nicholas some pretty good guidance on the last set of modifications.
Yes. And so... what's the calendar look like on the 8th? The agenda.
It's like.
I believe.
So we have one, I think, application on the 8th right now, the New Market. So maybe if that is a possibility of potentially bringing it
back.
Yeah,
I think I could do it by the 8th and shoot to get something to you. At least a few days in advance, but hopefully a week in advance.
And we've closed the public record for comment, so this would just be a final tweaking of basically of a lot of that language. Is that correct, Hillary? Would we have to reopen or leave the record open?
I don't. I believe it would be in the public's best interest that you allow testimony on the changes that you're considering on the 8th.
Okay. So we've closed public testimony on majority of the document, and we only would accept public testimony on any proposed changes that we've made at this meeting. And then, we would encourage the public to keep their comments focused on that if they were to testify at the next or submit a letter. Yeah. So, okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Thanks, Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.